Hello.
I'm Kendra.
And I'm August.
And you're listening to Book Dumb, the bookcast brought to you by a couple of dummies.
This week, we're focusing on everything related to reading slumps. They're terrible. We hate them. We're going to talk about our experience with them. Then we're going to go into books that have been so good that they've ended our reading slumps. From there, we're going to go into books that are so good that they have caused reading slumps, books that are so bad that they have caused reading slumps, or bad in at least our opinions, and then go from there, talk about some tips for getting out of them.
Yeah, and it's funny that I'm recording this episode because I need this episode, so I guess be the change you want to see in the world.
Yeah.
But it's going to be fun because I think we did talk about, as you just said, there are good reading slumps where you're just so moved by a book, you don't want to move away from it, you want to live in that world longer, and there are other books where you're like, this has ruined reading for me for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But before we get into that, I know you just said that you're in a reading slump, but are you reading anything right now?
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm trying real hard. I'm listening, actually, to American Gods.
Yes.
By Neil Gaiman, which is a book I've been wanting to read for forever, and you had really advocated for the 10th anniversary, is what I mean to say, the 10th anniversary version, because it's a full cast. Mm-hmm. I'm only about, I don't know, 45 minutes in.
I don't know. Is it a full cast? I can't remember.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different voices in it already, and I'm still in chapter one.
Mm. Okay, then it is a full cast. I don't know why I forgot that. Spaced. Okay, I love that book so much.
Yeah.
So good.
I think I'm going to love it. I mean, obviously, I love his other books, and you highly recommended it, so I think it's going
to
be great.
Yeah, that was the first Neil Gaiman book that I read, and I think it's probably my favorite.
Wow, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm. Although Good Omens has a special place in my heart.
Oh, you love the show, too, so that helps.
Because I love David Tennant. Oh, okay. In case you're curious, I'm reading The Real Lolita right now by Sarah Wineman. I talked about this in our Vacation Reads episode. Yes. It's a true crime narrative about the kidnapping that inspired Vladimir Nabokov to finish writing his masterpiece, Lolita. Mm-hmm. So, really enjoying that so far.
It actually sounds really interesting, I think. And I didn't know until I met you and I learned way more about Lolita than I think I've ever known, that it was based on a true case.
Yeah, I didn't know until a couple of years ago, actually, when this book came out. And it's funny because I've had this book on my shelves since it's come out and I'm just picking it up like 3 years later.
Yeah.
But you know what? That happens. It's okay.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, there are books on my shelf I'm looking at right now that I've probably been there for 10 years that I haven't read.
We all have those ones. But hey, I'm finally getting to it, so that's good. And crossing it off of my summer TBR.
I'm really excited to hear not only, like, your experience. I would definitely want The Summary because I don't think that's a book I would personally read. Mm-hmm. Maybe. That's not true. I do love true crime. But I really, really want you to, like, do a comparison of Lolita with this story, and just, like, I think that would be so interesting.
Yeah, it's really cool so far because, like, it opens with talking, obviously, about the case, but also talking about, like, the book being much more famous than the case. It's being, like, a very popular work of, I would call it, I know Vladimir Nabokov is Russian, but I would call it American literature. And it was just like a really great opening, like talking about how it really inspired and brought about like this wave of creativity for Nabokov, but also like how that's bad in some ways because there's a real woman here, a young girl that is experiencing a lot of this and she's not given.
Do you think you'll get any idea of like how she felt about the Lolita book?
I don't know. I'm not too sure going into it. Actually, I know that she actually, the young girl that actually experienced this, she died fairly young. I think she was like, I think she might have still been a teenager. Yeah, she was in a car accident. So I don't even know if she saw the publication of Lolita. But so far, I'm really liking it. I mean, it is true crime. Trigger warnings apply here. Definitely look those up before getting into it. But I'm like 10% in and I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
Yay. Okay. I know you'll keep us posted.
Always. Okay. Should we get into it? Should we get into reading slumps?
Let's do it.
Okay, so just tell me a little bit about your experiences with reading slumps.
Oh my God. I have my head in my hands right now because I know you're probably so freaking tired of me saying this every episode, but I'm legitimately in the worst reading slump of my entire life. I have been in, obviously everyone's experienced a slump. Usually they last a couple weeks for me, or maybe a week or two, where I'm just not reading. Like, I'm not reading anything. Now I think I'm having a really, really hard time. I'm still reading, but it is feeling forced. I'm not as engaged. I am looking at all the books on my shelf that I so desperately, desperately want to read, but it's my attention span isn't there. Mm-hmm. And also, the positive thing is that my life is very full of other things right now, and so I also don't have as much time as I did.
I think you should make an announcement about the biggest thing that's happening right now, because she's asleep right over there.
I have a kitten, and I love her so, so much, and she does take so much of my time up. I'm not kidding, where I'm like, I'll look down, it's been 4 hours of me just staring at her. So that's one thing. She's not helping the reading slump, but I don't care because she's an angel and I would die and kill for her.
You know what you should do? I think this might fix it. I think this just might cure the reading slump right now.
Oh, no.
You should read that T.S. Eliot book of cats. Your worst possible nightmare. Because yeah, it's T.S. Eliot and cats.
More T.S. Eliot. That's for sure what I need.
Sorry.
That was funny. Yeah, so I'm having a hard time. In the past, reading slumps have happened because of, you know, my mental health, mm-hmm. or homework, being in school always made obviously reading slump mm-hmm. happen. What about for you?
School is a big time for reading slumps for me. Like when I was in graduate school, I don't think I read anything on my own time, yeah. just because also I was taking 3 graduate seminars in a semester, and that's a lot. Obviously I was reading during that time, but it's assigned and you have to finish it that week or you're fucked.
Yeah.
So that was probably my biggest time where I just like wasn't reading for myself at all. I don't know if I would consider that a slump though, because I was still like consuming and enjoying content. I know a couple months ago I was in a really bad reading slump after finishing a terrible book that's on this list that I will shit talk till the day I die. And the thing mm-hmm. that really solved that was reading a book that's become one of my favorite books of probably all time. Like, it's brought me so much joy. Mm-hmm. But during that time, I had all these beautiful books in front of me, all these audiobooks that I was really, really excited to get to. And I just felt like not doing anything. Like, I wasn't watching television at the time. I wasn't watching movies. I just like couldn't keep my concentration on anything. And it's because I read a book that was so bad, it put me in that state.
I know exactly what you mean. Sometimes you're forcing yourself so much to finish a bad book
mm-hmm.
that you're like, I don't want to read anything for a long time.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
And there's so much guilt, I think, associated, I mean, for me, when I'm in a reading slump, because as readers, you're constantly wanting to keep reading. Also, it's a big source of joy. So then it's this cycle of feeling miserable because you're not reading, and then you're not reading, so then you start to feel miserable.
Yeah.
And it's hard, I think.
A catch-22 situation, some really might say. Yeah, definitely feel that. Yeah, because, like, if I don't accomplish certain things within a day, I just feel like total shit. That's just me,
yeah.
my anxiety manifesting itself. And one of those things is reading. Mm-hmm. And that could be listening to an audiobook or reading a physical book or reading an essay I found online or a journal article. And if I don't do that, like, even if I'm not in a reading slump and it was just a busy day, like, my mood immediately goes down. Mm-hmm. So reading slumps are very hard on my mental health.
I totally yeah. agree. Yeah. And it's hard when a reading slump is triggered by like a mental health yeah. crisis or just a rough mental health period.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, obviously a major symptom of depression is not being interested in the things that you're usually interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that often manifests for me as a reading slump.
Yeah. See, I feel like sometimes, not all the time, because there's definitely been times where I've just been like so sad that I can't motivate myself to do anything. But like even like I think back to like a really hard time I had a couple of years ago, and that was one of the most active times for reading for me. And I think it's because like shit was so bad around me mm-hmm. that I just needed to like take myself elsewhere. And I read a lot of great books during that time. So
silver lining.
Sometimes it can make good things happen, sometimes bad, and the yeah. bad thing is the reading slump. Also the depression, but
also side note, a side dish.
A just nice little plate. A little platter of depression.
We love that.
Yeah.
We don't.
I like how I said yeah, and you said I'm like, yes, sadness. I welcome you. Ugh.
Yep. So that, I guess, our major goal for this episode is, one, to talk about reading slumps, because I think there's a lot of stigmas, especially when you're part of, like, reading communities, mm-hmm. to be constantly hitting that number.
Yeah.
So we definitely want to normalize that reading slumps happen,
mm-hmm.
and that it's okay to yeah. go a month without reading.
You can fully embrace that reading slump.
Yeah. That's what I'm working on. I know I'm preaching it, but I'm really trying to practice it. It's mm-hmm. hard. But also, we want to make this functional and supportive, and so there are lots of tips here and some books that we think would either help, or books we honestly think some people should avoid.
Yeah, definitely some books that we think some people should avoid. Maybe all people. We'll get into that later. But let's maybe open right now. If you're in a reading slump right now and you need a book to pull you out of it, should we share? I have three listed. How many do you have?
I also have three.
Okay, cool. Do you want to share your first book that has pulled you out of a reading slump before?
The Bloody Chamber by Angela Carter. Actually, that's the first memory I have of being in a reading slump. Mm-hmm. I was in undergrad. I was doing my junior seminar, which is a really difficult class.
Yeah.
And
if you have a hard teacher, I had an easy teacher, so we didn't do shit.
I think you know who mm-hmm. I had, and it was the hardest class to this day, including grad school, that I've ever had. And so I was really stressed, and I read this short story collection, which, if you've never heard of it, by Angela Carter, The Bloody Chamber is one of the stories, but it's kind of these dark, twisty feminist retellings of traditional, like, Western fairy tales. Mm-hmm. And it's so good. It's one of my favorite texts of all time. And I think it reignited my love for reading, because after I read that, I started reading for fun again while I was in school.
Very nice.
And it reignited my obsession with fairy tales and myths.
And devil figures, or that was already a flame?
I think it was a budding flame that
burst into a forest fire.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't use forest fires, because there's some forest fires happening around us right now.
But it's a scary summer in California.
Yeah, it always is.
Yeah.
Yeah. If only we swept the floors.
Oh, my God.
Remember?
I do remember saying
that. Yikes. Okay. Yikes.
Anyway, what's one that's pulled you out?
So this is probably, like, the best one. This is when I was talking about that reading slump that was totally awful for me just a couple months ago at the end of 2020. And this book definitely pulled me out. And it's Me Talk Pretty One Day by David Sedaris. Since then, I've read four other David Sedaris books. I would recommend any of them to pull people out of a reading slump. I love his essay collections. Me Talk Pretty One Day is the first one that I read, and also probably my favorite. And it's just super, super funny. I love hearing him talk about his relationship with his family and his partner. Specifically love hearing the stories of him and his partner when he's learning French. It's just so funny. And also his stories, there's not too many, sadly, of him and his sister Amy throughout his books. There's, like, a decent amount. But I love Amy Sedaris. She's, I think, one of the funniest people alive or ever to have existed. So just love hearing about her. And it's absolutely great. His awesome. Parents are also fucking wild in a very entertaining way. His father actually just passed away, so a little sad. But, yeah, Me Talk Pretty One Day is so, so funny. Loved listening to him read it, too. I listened to this in one day, and it just completely reignited my love for reading.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's another book I keep meaning to read.
I think reading memoirs during a reading slump is a good thing to do 100%. As well.
It's what I've been doing. Mm-hmm. It is helping a lot. Because it feels like a podcast, just like you said, if you're listening to it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And also, like, a good comedy one, like, makes you laugh a little bit. It's not, like, not that reading is work, but it feels like less work.
It can. I think anything can feel like work when you don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's totally true.
Yeah.
So my second one, this is one of my favorite authors. Obviously, you've heard me talk about her a lot, but this is her first adult book, and it's Ninth House by Leigh Bardugo.
Mm-hmm.
I love this book so much. It was the first book I read when I came back from grad school, and it was the first book I read for fun.
Aww.
So, and it was so fun. It was exactly what I needed. Very dark academia. There's some magic. There was just, like, this emphasis on place with New Haven.
Love.
And I know I was just thinking that you would love it. And just dark, witchy, culty vibes.
Hell yeah.
I loved it so much. I think I'm going to reread it this fall because it just makes me think of autumn, which is actually when I came back. So that's probably one of the reasons. And it's just a really fun read. It was also just, like, really quick. It's a longer book. I'm, like, trying to find, there it is. I was trying to find it on my shelf while I was talking about it. It's a longer book. I read it really quickly, one, because I loved it, and two, because it's just one of those stories that, like, once you're in it, you need more of that world.
Ah.
And it reminded me of that feeling the first time I read Harry Potter and just, like, wanting to go back to Hogwarts so that you read it so fast.
Waiting for your letter to come in when you turned 11.
Yep.
We all did it.
Exactly.
Okay. This is one that, I mean, you've been telling me to read for, like, over a year now, well over a year, so I'll eventually get to it. I'm picturing the cover in my head.
I love that. Oh, that cover's so nice.
So nice. Yeah.
Oh.
Big fan.
Anyway, what's your second one?
My next one's kind of like yours, where it's a world that completely consumes you, and once you sit down to read it, you can't stop. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a book that I just finished reading, and I listened to it in two sittings, and that's The Silent Patient by Alex Mikaelides. We don't speak Greek, so I can't pronounce that. I'm sorry, I should have looked it up. But The Silent Patient was fantastic. I listened to it in two sittings, and it's like a 9-hour audiobook, mm-hmm. so that felt pretty good. It was just absolutely wild. We were talking about this earlier. We both listened to it, and so I feel like we both recognized the twists a little bit later than we would have if we had actually read the physical copy. But my mind was blown when I realized it a little bit before it happened. It's like, oh my God, is this really happening? Is this what's going on? And it was fantastic. And honestly, like, it could be one that caused a reading slump, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, if you're in the right space for it, and if you really like a good detective style mystery. Mm-hmm. I will say the Dr. Theo, immediately piece of shit. Very, very annoying.
Creepy, like, from the onset, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I can save her. I can do it. No one else can. The biggest hero complex. Like, oh, come yeah. on. Ugh, gross. Yeah.
Super creepy. Mm-hmm. And that brings me to my third one, which I want to give a disclaimer. This author is actually incredibly problematic. So I really grappled with choosing them mm-hmm. because I love this book so much. But it's Americana by Adichie. Yeah. So I want to say if I would recommend reading it. It is one of the best books I've ever read. And luckily, their anti-trans views don't at all show up in the book. However, get it used. Get it from the library.
Yeah, don't do it where she doesn't get any money. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm still, like, grappling because I want to reread that book. It's one of my favorite books of all time. Mm-hmm. And it is a book that also when I was, like, finishing undergrad, it was the first book I read.
Yeah.
And it just... Well, I was in class, mm-hmm. Reading it for a class, and it just gripped me in a way that a book hadn't in so long.
Yeah.
Where, and also it was so well done, and it's so rich, mm-hmm. and you really fall in love with those characters. And it's just a tragedy that she's so, like, anti-trans and... Yeah. I don't support her views, and I don't agree with them. And she wrote a really great book, and it sucks that those truths exist at the same time. I would still recommend this book.
Yeah. I remember you were recommending this to me, and then also my really good friend Giselle was recommending it to me. And so I have a copy, and it was before I found out. And so I have the copy sitting on my bookshelf, and I'm like, I do want to read it, but, like, of course we do not support those ideals, like, that's just completely backwards and wrong. Like, honestly, fuck you for thinking that way. Like, it just makes me really upset. But I have only heard fantastic things about the book itself.
Yeah.
And it's just like, fuck.
It really sucks.
Maybe this is really dark, but maybe she'll die and I can read it after her death and I won't feel as bad.
Maybe. Or I'm hoping she'll change her mind. She'll grow.
That's also true. It doesn't have to be just death.
Because I think the hardest part about finding out Adichie held these views is that she... In my experience, to my knowledge, had been such an advocate for women across the world.
Yeah, she's held up as a feminist figure.
Yeah, and she had this great TED Talk. That's how I found her in her writing.
Mm-hmm.
But she is a TERF, which means trans exclusionary radical feminist, where she does include trans women in the feminist movement, which is not feminism. And also she really sabotaged another one of my favorite writers, Akwaeke Emezi, who is non-binary, and sabotaged their... publication for one of their books, and so that's another thing that's incredibly wrong.
It was for the death of Vivek Oji, right? Yeah. Which I've only heard amazing things about.
Which is actually a much better book, I think. Well, okay. It's hard to say. I'm moved by both of their writing.
Mm.
I'm going to continue to read Emezi before I pick up a new Adichie, mm-hmm. if I ever do. That being said, I am still gonna, like, hold my ground on how good Americana is. It's to this day. So, I mean, it's especially great because it's the perspective of American culture
mm-hmm.
through the eyes of a young immigrant woman and her experience moving through the world as, like, an African immigrant and her family back home and these two worlds they're navigating. There's mm-hmm. a love story that's actually so moving and touching in it. And it's also going to be an HBO series with Lupita Nyong'o.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I love Lupita, but I don't want...
Which they got canceled.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was going to be a really great cast too, which sucks.
Oh, God. I mean, I trust Lupita in anything. So fucking talented. So
yes.
She can do anything. Just maybe don't work with the TERF.
Yeah.
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 Your actions have power. Okay.
I'm sorry for that long rant. I just realized I took up so much time.
No, no. Don't apologize at all. That's something that we need to address and talk about, because we do not support that mindset.
Yeah.
In fact, it is disgusting and wrong. But to move on to something that's not disgusting or wrong, or maybe disgusting in the best way. Don't worry. It's not what you think it is. I'm not going to talk about devil all the time, but I could. My last book that can pull me out of a reading slump is my favorite book of all time, and that's Just Kids by Patti Smith. Because this is a book that I can read every single year and just fall in love with again, because she is like everything to me. I love her so much. She's so cool. Like, I don't even know what else I can say about this, because I feel like I've talked about it so much. But again, with memoirs pulling you out of a reading slump, this one I feel like can do it like nobody else. Maybe I'm like super, super biased because I also love her music and her art, and I love Robert Mapplethorpe as well. But yeah, I just love being sucked into New York in the late 60s throughout the 70s. And it's just so nice.
I don't know why I'm surprised by that pick.
You shouldn't be. It should just appear on every episode.
It honestly could. Yeah. It probably could.
It's just fantastic. And I also think, like, even if you're not interested in the punk scene at this time, or New Wave from a little bit later, which she participated in as well, this book is still super approachable. And you don't have to know all these people that she includes within the book to fully understand and appreciate the beauty of her language. Like, you don't have to know who Patti Smith and Robert Mapplethorpe are in order to appreciate the beauty of their friendship.
So. I love that.
But also it helps if you know them, and you should support them because they're cool and I love them a lot. Should we go into books that are so good that they've caused reading slumps?
Yes, and I think this is such a singular feeling of, like, when you finish a book and you're like, I don't want this book to ever end, so I'm just not going to read anything and just think about this book for a long time. I think you and I are going to have some overlap.
Oh, really?
At least one book.
I mean, the one book to rule them all.
I can start there, if you'd like.
I mean, it's the top of mine, too.
Well, do you want to talk about your experience of, like, when you finish a good book and you have a reading slump?
Sure, yeah. Definitely just, like, wanting to stay in that world. There's definitely been times where I have, like, 30 pages left of a book, and I'm, like, will purposely not finish it because I'm dreading finishing it. Just because either the language is so beautiful, or I love the author's style of writing, or just the content itself is entirely engrossing. And it's a world that I just love being in. So,
or there are some things you're afraid are going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Always afraid. Very, very afraid.
Which takes me to my number one, I think, but I'm going to list it first.
Yeah.
Which is A Little Life.
Same.
Yep, by Hanya Yanagihara. What a book. Mm-hmm. What a book. Trigger warnings for everything. We have a whole episode dedicated to it.
Where we open with trigger warnings in the spoiler-free portion. So if you haven't read it, those trigger warnings are spoiler-free.
And I would highly recommend listening or looking up the trigger warnings on your own, because if you're not prepared, it's going to not be it's not always a fun book regardless, but it's going to be extremely taxing on your mental health.
Yeah, it might be a book that causes a reading slump from being just so devastating.
Totally.
Not in a good way.
Yeah, but it's also one of the best books I've ever read.
It's just so beautiful.
My sister, shout out Allie, read it while I was staying with her for a little bit, and I loved being there as she was reading it, because I'd be like, what part do you want, and we would talk about it, and she'd like walk away from her copy and I would go read my favorite passages. Aww. I gotta tell you, if you've read the book, go back and reread the last 12 pages. Wow.
Big wow. Yeah, that was one where I read it and it caused, like, not like a super bad reading slump afterwards, but, like, definitely I did not like the books that I read after, and I probably would have liked them a whole lot more if I hadn't read A Little Life.
For sure.
Yeah.
Or just, like, not wanting to move on.
Yeah.
That's how I felt.
I just need more. Oh, is it, is Harold? I love Harold.
I love Harold.
Mm-hmm.
Harold, Jude, Willem.
Yeah.
Andy.
Oh, baby. I like how we didn't include JB in the list of the boys. Still have not forgiven him.
No, I haven't. Yeah. Even Malcolm, who it's not bad. I just don't love him as much.
Not wild. I just didn't even think about Malcolm.
that's Malcolm's whole presence in the book for me.
Yeah.
I just forget.
Yeah. Well, anyway. I mean, they're all special and wonderful in their own special and wonderful ways.
Totally.
I don't know any other words other than special and wonderful for A Little Life.
I feel like,
except for sad.
Yeah. I feel like A Little Life is a book where when I think about it, I have the feeling in my chest and my gut, and I can't put it into words because it's just big sigh. That's all I can say.
Yeah. So since we both picked A Little Life, do you want to tell me what's number or your second pick for books that have been so good they've caused a reading slump?
Yeah, one of my favorite books of all time is Anna Karenina by Tolstoy. This put me in a reading slump. Oh my god, reading slump. Partly because it's so long and it took me so long to read it that I was having fun the entire time, but I was just like, I need a break because it was also very heavy. But I had this immense like wave of satisfaction and fulfillment when I finished it, partly because it is a beast, so I felt proud of myself. So it was also an ego boost. Secondly, it's just there are lines in that book that I couldn't help just after I finished it going back, reading them over, thinking about the characters, thinking about that ending, envisioning alternate endings. I loved it. And talk about being sucked into a different world. Like, Russia during the late 19th century is a whole vibe for me. I've always just, like, really been drawn to that kind of literature. And I just want to live in a safe movie version of a Russian winter czarist wonderland where no one hurts me and I'm very rich.
Kind of the necessary requirements to be happy during that time. Especially the rich part.
That's exactly, like, it's only fun because I'm reading about rich people.
You know Nabokov grew up in that.
I can understand why he wrote the books he wrote.
Yeah, and then his father was murdered.
Yikes.
Because he was rich as fuck. So, fuck the rich, you know?
Yeah, he got guillotined.
But also, he got shot. Oh. I think Nabokov might have been there. I'm not entirely... No, he got shot when he was giving a speech.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah.
What kind of speech? Like a seditious speech?
Or? I think he was just a politician, and it was when Lenin was taking power and really fucking shit... It wasn't Lenin. It was Lenin.
Well, Lenin was before Stalin.
Yeah, it was Lenin. Okay. We're just gonna erase this portion because I'm not entirely sure who, but yeah, he was just speaking at an event and then he got shot, I believe, in the stomach and then died, and then his family fled Russia.
As you do. Mm-hmm. Was he a Bolshevik?
You're asking me questions that it's been a while since I took the Nabokov class. It's not fresh in my memory.
My bad.
Okay. But moving on, is it okay if I share my next pick?
No.
Well, fuck you. I'm going to. And I'm going to because it's American Psycho by Bret Easton Ellis, Bret Easton Ellis is also a piece of shit. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, disgusting. He somehow became a massive Trump supporter, which is interesting because American Psycho is a critique of capitalism and, you know, Wall Street bros being disgusting and awful and terrible. Trump is even mentioned throughout American Psycho as like Patrick Bateman's ideal. Like, he's constantly trying to meet Trump. At one point, like, he like thinks that he sees Ivanka. Is Ivanka his wife or daughter?
Daughter, but good. It's very telling that you mixed God.
Up. Yeah, because if she wasn't his daughter, who knows? Yeah, but he thinks that he sees them in a club, and it's just, you know, ugh, disgusting. Bret Easton Ellis is a piece of shit. I bought all the books that I've read by him used, so he doesn't get any money. So fuck you. Also, just does not make sense to me about how any queer individuals can be Trump supporters, but you know what? Some people are just wrong, and that's not okay. But
I love it. Keep going.
Yeah, but American Psycho is, like, it's sad. It's kind of, I feel... maybe similar to how you're feeling about Americana being a beautiful book written by a terrible person. This one maybe makes me feel a little less bad because it's about a terrible person, at least, because Patrick Bateman, he's a wild guy. He has a lot going on. I will say, if you love the movie of this and you haven't read the book and you think that the book's going to be a lot like the movie, there are similar elements, but the film is just like pure camp in comparison to the book. I love the gross and the dark. I've made that very, very clear. If there's maggots involved, I love it. There's a part of this book where I, like, had to put the book down and, like, step away from a little bit.
Is it the hamster?
It's the hamster. Okay. Which I won't tell you what happens because it's just too much.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay.
And everything that happens around the hamster, it's bad. Just really, really bad. But it is so good.
Just know that if August is saying it's bad... folks, it is bad.
Yeah, it was rough, but it was really fucking good. I really liked it. I mean, I love critique of capitalist culture because fuck capitalism. It's disgusting and evil. So that was really, really fun. also just like the music references throughout this is exactly my taste in music, which makes me sad that Bret Easton Ellis and I seem to have the same taste in music, because also he's another book called Less Than Zero, which I recently read, and it's like the same music, which I love. He actually even brings up my favorite DJ, Richard Blade, in it, and I'm like, god damn it, don't bring Richard into this, like, I love him. I need him for my Saturday night safety dance. Like, it's important to me. But yeah, this book is just absolutely fantastic. If you're not wanting to take it on, the movie's also really fucking cool.
I really love the movie.
Yeah, I would love to be Patrick Bateman for Halloween 1 year.
I'm surprised you haven't been.
It's because I need a nice suit.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't think I can carry around a nice axe or chainsaw.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, but one day.
Yeah. I'm sure one day we'll see you walking down the street.
Also, his raincoat in it, which he wears when he possibly commits murder. Mm. Who knows if he does or not? That's, who knows? Yeah. But it reminds me of in Hannibal, the television show, Hannibal Lecter has a special clear suit for when he murders people. And it's just good vibes all around. I really like it.
Very Dextery.
Mm-hmm. Oh, also Dexter's coming back. Damn, I just love murderers. Okay, what is your next pick for books that have gotten you out of a reading slump?
Okay, and so, sorry if you hear my kitten crying. I had to put her in the other room because she was making a lot of noise.
But she's okay.
I know, she's okay. She's just whining because she's needy and I love her and she loves me.
She needs a lot of attention.
She loves attention. Hopefully stop soon because it breaks my heart to hear it. I hope it doesn't pick up too on the audio and bother anyone. So I'm sorry for that if it does. But my last book that was so good that put me in a reading slump is actually Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. It's kind of funny because the first time I read it, I did not like it. But I think I was just being a pretentious teenager and being like, no, Jane Austen, gross. I read harder books, which is not true. Jane Austen's very difficult. And I loved it so much. I read it in college when I was reading a bunch of other books similar to it, and all I wanted to do was be Elizabeth Bennet and just...
Yeah.
Think about that world. And I was like, I remember actively, like, the way I talked changed because I was like, oh my god, you sound so annoying because you kind of sound like an Austen character. Mm. But I was just so engrossed and like so obsessed with that book the second time I read it.
I love how you want to be Elizabeth and I want to be Darcy.
Oh.
He's living the life.
I mean, but she does get the benefits
That's
of his
true.
Life.
That's true. I just want to play the piano and live in that giant ass house with all the... Yes. Marble statues.
Quick. Is...
Pemberley? Is that what it's called?
Pemberley. What's your next one?
So I just had to change this. I picked Tower's End by Ian Forster. Mm-hmm. I know I've talked about this book a lot, but it is so, so good. I love Ian Forster's writing. I'm going to start A Room with a View soon, so he's just, like, kind of on my mind right now. I picked Howard's End. I also really love his book, Morris. I wouldn't pick that to... It wasn't so good that it put me into a reading slump. It's a beautiful book, but it's not as well written as Howard's End. I read this for a class, and it was the last book of the semester, and it just hit me at the right place at that time. So it was all about changing times. It's these sisters, and they have to move from their home that they've lived in their entire lives to a different place. And so, like, this, like, sense of moving, this changing scenery, also happening during the Edwardian period where London itself is changing. Mm. So they talk about moving away from, like, less, like, horses as transportations to, like, automobiles going through the city. And I just think that's, like, absolutely beautiful. There's actually this one opening to a chapter that sticks with me, and I have a special page marker in it so I can just turn to it and, like, reread the beauty of that transitional time period. But it's, like, it opens with, like, certainly London fascinates, and it just, like, goes into, like, an exploration and description of the city streets at the time and how, you know, day by day we'll see less of the sun and more of, like, the fog and tall buildings and everything. And it's just absolutely stunning. It was the last book that I read for this class of the semester, where I also read fantastic books, some of my favorite books, mm-hmm. like North and South by Elizabeth Gaskell, Middlemarch by George Eliot, Jude the Obscure by Thomas Hardy, like, all fantastic works of Victorian social realist fiction. But this was, like, by far probably my favorite book of that class, mm-hmm. just because it really also fit in. Like, I was moving at the time, was, like, dealing with, like, moving from an apartment that I had lived in a while and just kind of switching things up, and it just felt right. I also have a beautiful copy of this book, which also, it's, like, just such a pleasure to look at while reading. It's a Signet Classics, and it's just so cute. So that's why it's here.
Is that copy of her, like, overlooking, right, the town?
No, that's
Middlemarch,
and then also North and South. No, this is a cute little one, and it's just, like, people in a room.
Oh,
it's really nice, yeah.
I need to read that one, though.
It's so good. And there's also a beautiful film adaptation with Anthony Hopkins and Helena Bonham Carter's in it, as well as a bunch of other people. It's by this couple that made a number of E.M. Forster-based films, including Morris, which is a fantastic work of art. But yeah, just absolutely perfect in every single way.
Awesome.
I feel like that's how I end talking about all books. It's absolutely perfect. There's no phenomenal.
I know. I feel like I say phenomenal and fantastic all the time.
Mine is yes, wow, phenomenal, and ugh.
Ugh. We can't help it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go into books that have been so bad they've caused reading slumps. And we're just going to make this clear from the beginning. This is bad in our personal opinion.
Yes.
Some people might love these books. We just didn't.
Yeah, I'm already a little worried.
I mean, it's okay. Everyone has different reading tastes. Everyone likes different things. It could also have just been our state of mind while we were reading those books, too.
That's so true.
Maybe not just the book itself, but everything else happening in the world is a lot.
I think it's that, and also you're going to see a theme with the genres and the time periods of me, loans I've picked.
Am I going to be nervous?
I don't think you I don't know.
I'm just scared that you're going to shit on all the modernists now.
No, I don't think so, no. Okay. No. I'm just, you know when certain style of writing is not your cup of tea, it never will be?
Poetry.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, reading those books, they're kind of all... Anyway, that's a long way of me saying, I'm scared, don't be mean to me, I just don't like these books.
That's totally okay. Do you want to start?
Yeah, why don't I start us off with the most controversial one?
Oh, no.
And okay. I feel really bad saying this because I do love her other books that I've read. And this is Beloved. This is obviously not a bad book. She's an incredibly talented writer. I think the story itself is really interesting. This book, I did not enjoy reading. I remember, I think it was last summer I was reading it. Yeah. It took me so long to finish it. I thought the ending actually did save my reading of it. If I had DNF'd it, I might have said I actually hated it, but I don't like Southern Gothics. I really don't vibe with those types of stories, which is hard because, like, I love The Bluest Eye. I love Tomo as a person. Like, I love the writing that I've read of hers, but because it felt so, it literally felt like I was just in a desert, and it was never ending.
See, for me, Beloved could have been a book that caused a reading slump for me.
Because it was so good.
Yeah, it was so good. I honestly considered putting it on my list, but I feel like I talk about it so often. Mm-hmm. But the reasons why you didn't like it is exactly why I like it.
It's why we're great. It's a good thing we started a podcast, because, like, we're so opposite sometimes. Yeah. But yeah, I always feel so bad telling people I didn't like this book. Maybe I'll reread it one day and love it. I'm willing to reread it.
After I brainwash you and get you super into American Gothic.
If I come on this podcast and say my favorite book is an American Gothic, I have been body snatched.
Well, you never know. You haven't even read Devil All the Time yet, so.
I need you to call the police, even though they're not helpful, but no. Report me missing to someone you trust. Anyway, so I'm sorry. I couldn't read for weeks after that. Not weeks. It was like a week, but I was, I was out.
That's okay. Everybody likes different things. I personally really love that book, but that's okay.
A lot of people do, I think.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to start with one. I'm going to move to, like, my biggest reading slumps. I'm going to start with the one that caused the least, and that was The Great Believers by Rebecca Mackay. I hated this book.
I forgot about that book. That could have been on mine, too.
So this book was really hyped up to us. We were going to do an entire episode on this. We're not anymore. Neither of us enjoyed this book. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that was, for me, everyone was saying that it's a similar book to A Little Life, which I think is an unfair comparison. I also don't really see what they have in common other that they include queer men that have close friendships with other queer men, which... I don't think that should make two books comparable.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's necessarily right. I found this book to be really, really boring. Mm-hmm. I thought that this book definitely should not have been written by a white woman, a straight white woman. I had a lot of issues with that. Not to say that straight people cannot tell queer stories, but a lot of it felt like she was capitalizing on specifically queer trauma, specifically found within gay male communities. Mm-hmm. And it felt wrong to me. I felt like I was reading trauma porn at times. A lot of people say that A Little Life feels like trauma porn to them. That's how I felt reading The Great Believers, and there was times where I was, like, actually mad. I insisted on finishing it. I don't like to DNF books. But Kendra had to deal with me fucking ranting about this. There are notes in my copy of book, my book, being like, why am I reading this? Yeah. Like, this is just pissing me off. I will say, though, the last 100 pages of this book were pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And it saved it from being a one star. Put it at like a 1.5, maybe a 2.
Oh, wow.
But I will never read this book again.
Oh,
I would not recommend this book. I also think the cover design is fucking ugly. And I stand by that. It's yellow, all the stripes. Personally, not for me. Just a little too much going on. And I really dislike this book.
Yeah, I thought that book was just really boring. It didn't enrage me, but I was just like, what? Why is this so popular? And like, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to hurt anyone's feeling. And also, I think because of you, not because of you. Wow, that was really pointed.
Because of you.
What I mean to say is, similarly to you, I was expecting something like Little Little Life. And yeah. So going with those expectations is just unfair into any book.
Mm-hmm.
So
I also just don't understand why that comparison is made.
It's entirely just because there are queer men in it. That's the only reason.
That's the only thing that I can think of that's remotely similar.
Other than maybe it's devastating to a lot of people. But it's a... Yeah, I thought that was weird.
Yeah, instead of reading this, just go watch How to Survive a Plague and actually, like, yes. Give a shit about the queer community and support artists that are part of that community. That's what I would recommend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally agree. Well said, as always.
Never.
Never.
What is your next one?
God, I'm really hoping I don't end this podcast right now because August might kill me.
Oh, no. Oh, was it Blood Meridian? Please don't say, is Blood Meridian on your list?
I forgot about Blood Meridian too.
Oh, thank God, thank God.
Blood Meridian could be on that list.
Blood Meridian is a perfect work of art, and I don't understand how you don't like it. But what is your next pick?
Okay, well, anything by Hemingway, but specifically The Snows of Kilimanjaro.
I actually haven't read that one.
Context, I had to read it in a class that almost made me change my degree.
The teacher, disgusting.
Yeah, he was one of the worst people I've ever met. He was really mean to me. I was going through a hard time, and he was not.
I mean, older white male professors within literature departments are hit and miss.
Yeah.
They're either a fucking woke and cool or complete trash, and this one was a garbage fire, so.
He constantly, like, let people talk over me. It was just the whole thing. I talk about him in my stigmas, in the stigmas episode. But anyway, I had to read that book for that class. And I don't like Hemingway anyway. And so reading in the context of that class, I was so, I'm enraged thinking. I think the experience you had reading The Great Believers is what I had reading The Snows of Kilimanjaro. Because the entire time, all I was writing in the margins is all like, this misogynistic piece of shit. I hate this book so much. It was so boring to me. I just don't like that style of writing either. Like, I'll never enjoy Faulkner. I'll never enjoy Hemingway. I'll never enjoy, like, I know August is frowning. It's just that to me.
That's okay. Everyone likes different things.
They do. And I just, like, I think that style of writing personally just really bores me. And the stories bore me. Like, I'm never, ever going to enjoy those books. And so reading anything in that genre really, really pisses me off.
Okay.
I'm getting worked up. Kendra, chill, protect your peace. You're fine. Mostly because, especially in the context of that class, everyone was raving about it. And I was like, did we read the same book? Because this book sucked. Like, nothing happened. He was just mean to his wife or girlfriend or whatever the whole time.
Like every single Hemingway novel.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, it's just boring. I don't need to, there are mean men on the internet already. I don't need to read about them.
Yeah. See, I love Hemingway. I love the lost generation in modernist fiction, and sadly there's a lot of really shitty men and a lot of shitty actions that happen to women within those novels, but yeah, I don't know why I, you know, men are trash, and I acknowledge the fact that they're terrible. Maybe it's the fact that they're dead makes me feel less bad about it, but I love Hemingway. I haven't read that, but I would say Old Man and the Sea is one of my favorite books ever. Like, definitely, like, got me to study literature seriously. So
how are we friends?
I just love that. No extra detail, like, to the point, short, curt sentences with also, like, so much detail around. Like, how does he do it? I like it. I like it a lot.
Different experiences right now. I'm enraged, and she's hard-eyes.
Yeah, I'm hard-eyes for Hemingway.
Oh, God.
I know, it's sad. I really wish I wasn't. But
keep that to yourself.
It's okay. I have bigger hard eyes for James and Nora Joyce, so
okay, that's fair.
I have my heart. But James Joyce did punch a man and then hide behind Hemingway, so Hemingway would fight the man for him.
Also, I'm gonna bet my life on this. Hemingway and Fitzgerald fucked.
Oh, definitely. Hemingway was queer, yeah, for sure.
Which is where all that toxic masculinity comes from.
Yeah, also the fact he was dressed as a girl for his first couple years of life. And he had, like, a really abusive mom.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah. He had a troubled upbringing. I think he lived in Kansas.
Oh, of course. It always has to be blamed on the mom. It's supposed to be like...
He was just a piece of shit. Like, it's not all just nurture. There's some nature.
Yeah.
Let's not just blame the woman here. But I think she was, like, actually a piece of shit person.
Well, I mean, like, hyper-misogynist men always blame their mom, whether it's their...
He could have righted a lot of his wrongs, but he also was just a garbage fire.
Anyway, what's your next?
Want to hear about another garbage fire? Because, wow, the biggest.
Oh, no.
Bleak House.
Oh, I knew this. I knew this.
I just don't like Charles Dickens.
Me either.
I love Victorian literature. I have not liked any of the Charles Dickens that I've read, so maybe this is just a personal problem, but Bleak House is far too long and far too boring to exist.
Hmm.
I just don't think it should be read. There is an adaptation with Gillian Anderson in it, though. I have not seen that, but I would like to because I like seeing her. So don't read Bleak House. Maybe watch the adaptation. I don't know. If it's very, very true, it's probably boring as well. But you got to look at Gillian Anderson. So.
Maybe there's like a compilation on YouTube of just her scenes.
That'd be cool. I could get behind that.
Send that our way.
Yeah. But I don't even want to speak about Bleak House. That's how much I disliked it. It is so boring. I had to read it for school. If I didn't have to read it for school, there's no way I would ever read this book.
Mm-hmm.
I also don't think it necessarily should have been taught in the class that it was taught, because why should we read an 800-page novel by Charles Dickens when we could dedicate that time to focusing on authors from other groups that were not mentioned really at all within the class? But, you know, everyone likes different things.
Ooh, she's preaching. I love it.
Okay, what's your last one?
Okay, so I'm actually going to change split second because I'm seeing it on the shelf.
Oh.
So this is all from the top of my head, which is why it's all dumb all the time. But that's Fool by Christopher Moore. If you haven't heard about this, this is a retelling.
Didn't he write all those vampire books?
Probably. I have no idea. This is all... To me, he only exists because of this book and this book only.
Okay.
This is a comedic, I mean, really loose... definition of the word comedic, retelling of King Lear, which is one of my favorite Shakespeare plays. I actually read them alongside each other for a class. Loved King Lear, had to follow up with Fool, which is supposed to be funny, but it's all just a bunch of fart jokes and, like, stupid...
Which some would say that Shakespeare is.
I think that's what he was going for, to his credit, is it just was really stupid. And also... It's really hard to do a Shakespearean retelling for that exact reason, is that, like, when you try to translate exactly, it can be really dumb, because the jokes are actually kind of dumb sometimes. They're dad jokes and fart jokes, but they're covered in actually good writing. So that's where, to me, my opinion, Christopher Moore lacks, is that I just don't think his writing is engaging. I don't think he's very thoughtful, and I don't think he has that, like, talent that when you read a book, you're like, oh, beautiful. And so I think I was enraged because it just was like a waste of my time, and I was like, I would rather just reread King Lear.
Yeah, understandable. Yeah, adaptations are hit and miss.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, definitely one that I will not be reading, nor had I ever heard of it before. So
I would not recommend.
I'm gonna end with a book that put me in a terrible reading slump, but I'm never gonna forgive it, and I feel so heartbroken because I love this author. And that's Dark Places, which is the worst book I read in 2020. Honestly, might be one of the worst books that I've ever read, like, in all time. This book, the twist is dumb, and it's not predictable because it doesn't make any fucking sense. It comes out of nowhere. It feels like maybe, like, pages and chapters were just taken out, and maybe those would have hinted at what's to come, but those chapters didn't exist. And so I had no fucking clue what was going on. It wasn't engaging. I felt like it was a big misrepresentation of the true crime community. Maybe accurate to, like, some members of the true crime community, like what we saw with all the people in the Cecil Hotel documentary. The Cecil Hotel documentary, like, you know, not very cool, not actually... caring, but just projecting. But yeah, I just really didn't like Dark Places. I wouldn't recommend this to anybody, and it doesn't make sense to me that such a talent like Gillian Flynn, who wrote one of my favorite books ever, Sharp Objects, could write something that's just, like, downright awful.
Biggest
disappointments of 2020. Yeah.
I think if you haven't listened to that episode, I think it's a great episode.
We also got into it in our episode that we have just on Gillian Flynn.
We talk a lot about that book, and it for a good reason, because we need to warn everyone against it if you're a Gillian Flynn fan.
Yeah, it's just, like, it's a one star for me, and I wish that I didn't read it.
I'm with you.
Yeah. And I wanted to read all of her books, and I still haven't read that short story collection, and I probably won't because I'm a little nervous about it.
I forgot about that book. Yeah. Or that short story collection. I haven't read it either. Yeah. If it's good, let us know, because...
I think it's a short story collection.
Maybe it's just one short story.
It might just be one short story, but I'm scared too because I haven't heard really anything about it. And also, like, people love Dark Places. It has some really great reviews on Goodreads and other websites, and I just did not vibe with it at all. It's definitely her worst book, in my opinion, mm-hmm. and I think that's, like, pretty clear. I don't understand how people like this book really at all. And yeah, don't read it. If you're not going to read any of the books from this list, don't read that one.
I wouldn't recommend reading any of them, but...
Yeah.
It is what it is, right?
I guess so. Okay, so should we go on to some tips from here?
Yeah. Okay. We might have some overlap, so I'll just cut out anything you say or rubber stamp it. But I'm hoping you have some new tips for me, because your girl's going through it.
Okay. I think my biggest tip is just to be patient with yourself. Because when you're ready to read again, you'll be ready to read, right?
I love that. That's so much more empathetic.
I mean, everyone should just take their time. I understand why people feel pressure to be reading constantly, and I definitely feel that pressure too, so this is a little hypocritical, but, like, if you're not vibing with it, it's just not happening. That's okay.
I'm with you. That's one of my last ones that says cut yourself some slack and just find joy in your other hobbies, which is what I've been trying to do, because... If you know, when you're a reader, you'll go back to it, whether it's a month or 3 months,
yeah,
or a year, whatever. My biggest go-to is to reread a favorite. I think that's mm-hmm. a lot of people's, like, a popular one.
Yeah.
Specifically something that's cozy for me, that would be Harry Potter, or it would be The Song of Achilles.
Yeah.
What about you? Do you have any, like, rereads?
Just Kids. Every single year. Also, I just read Annihilation. I would reread that again because that was a really fun one. And also true crime books where you know it's going to happen. Maybe it doesn't feel so much like reading. Maybe it feels more like a podcast. Mm-hmm. But I would reread, like, I'll Be Gone in the Dark during a reading slump as well.
Oh, such a great book, too, if you haven't read it. Mm-hmm. Just phenomenal. Read it.
Okay. Another thing that I love doing when I'm in a reading slump is just listening to a low-stakes audiobook. So, like, finding something that's maybe something that you've wanted to read, but it's not, like, super high up on your TBR, or maybe it's one where you feel like you don't have to pay as close of attention. Just listening to it, having a chill moment, have a glass of wine, maybe partake in some other substances. Just do whatever you do to feel comfy and cozy and listen to something.
Yeah.
Or even if you're just, like, cleaning your apartment or house.
I totally agree with that. It's also on my list. I love...
Wow.
We know.
Checking off what we cover so there's no repeats. How about you?
Also, I like to focus on shorter reading, which is why I've been doing a lot of poetry. So short stories, novellas, something that feels less daunting, less intimidating can really, really help because, one, you are feeling productive, so your self-worth, for me personally, my self-worth is definitely tied to my productivity, does go up, and so then you're in a better mood, and then eventually... like, you'll move on to bigger reading. Mm-hmm. And also what I'm experiencing these past 2 months is because I'm out of my habit of, like, I used to read for an hour or two in the morning every day. Since I'm out of that, it's harder for me to mm-hmm. read for long periods of time. So reading poetry or reading short stories has been helping a lot.
Nice. I definitely rubber stamped that as well. I just crossed that off my list. Is there any, like, works of poetry that come to your mind right now that you've been reading?
I'm still working on Edna St. Vincent Millay. So I'm doing a poem a day. But actually what I like about that, like, routine is I end up reading, like, 5 or 6 because a lot of them are so short. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm really not in the mood to read, reading one poem is not that bad. Yeah. So then I just make myself sit through it. I'm really enjoying her poetry, but I think my favorite poet's Milton. Mm-hmm. So every once in a while I do open my Milton book and read a couple of his poems.
God, you're such a nerd.
I know. So that's awful.
Okay, something that I also advocate for is asking friends, whether they're friends that you have online or in the real world, I guess. I don't know. What's the real world? To read a book with you.
Oh, yeah.
Book clubs have definitely helped me. I know when quarantine first started that summer, when we were all, like, a bunch of my friends and I were out of school, we all created a reading group, and it was so helpful because there's no way that I would have been reading during that time if it wasn't for them. And we read some great books. Like, I read Trevor Noah's Born a Crime for the first time. I read Beloved for the first time, and Their Eyes Were Watching God. Like, 3 books that I absolutely love, and it was because I had my group of friends pushing me to read them.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Like how I said that, I fucking organized that reading group, but it's because I needed it.
Typical August. Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about another from you?
I would also recommend unhauling.
Yeah.
So getting rid, like cleaning up your bookshelf, but part of unhauling for me also means filling those gaps on the bookshelf. So I recently just did that. I donated, I think, like 20 books.
Nice.
And there are books that I knew I was never going to read again. And it also I gave myself permission to buy about 10 books that month. Mm-hmm. So even though I know I'm not going to read them anytime soon, it gets me excited when I go to a bookstore. But also I do feel like lighter getting rid of those books. Like when you look on your shelf and you're like, oh, that book is not fun. Why do I still have it?
Yeah.
It makes you not excited to read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I personally really struggle with getting rid of books, but I have gotten rid of The Great Believers. So...
Gross.
Yeah, I do still have Bleak House because it fills up my shelf nicely with all the other books, but it's okay.
I understand that.
So this goes along with what you were just saying, but also reorganizing your books. Massive. I personally love partaking in some substances and staring at my bookshelves for like 5 hours and fixing them and making them look really, really nice. I'm really proud of how they look, and I love just like going through and looking at all the covers. You know, we both have a lot of used books, a lot of older books, seeing like the library cards and some of them, like it just reignites that love for the printed page, the printed word. What the fuck is wrong with me?
On the printed page.
Yeah.
Printed
those,
on the page.
Those beautiful words.
I totally agree. I think I might actually do that tonight. Mm-hmm. So another thing that really, really helps me, I think, we'll see, is trying a new genre.
That was next on my list.
Oh my god.
Yeah, let's just cross that off.
One, because you might find something you love.
Mm-hmm.
But two, if you're not like excited to read anyway, and you know you needed to get that book checked off your list, might as well get one checked off. Like, I know it's not the healthiest, but it is kind of how I'm thinking about it, where it's like, oh, I really don't want to read. I'm trying to think of an example. This isn't a great example because I do want to read this book, but My Dark and Vanessa, I'm reading it for the podcast, but I've been putting it off because of its subject matter. Obviously not really fun to read about, but partly because we're doing an episode on it, so I have to read it. Secondly, because I just like have to read it because I promised you I would.
And also you want to on your own.
Yeah. I want to, but I think originally I didn't want to, and then I've come around and now I really want to. So I'm like, I'm just going to force myself to read it, whatever happens. I think that could help.
Just going on switching up genres, backing that up, like even switching up just like modes of books. So like personally, I would never read a poetry collection, but if you don't, well, maybe I'd read some. I'd do like Allen Ginsberg and Jack Kerouac because I hate myself. Why do I like these toxic men? They're terrible, like actually like monstrous human beings, as is Ernest Hemingway. Why do I do this to me? God damn it. Okay. But so like reading something that you don't typically read. So like something that immediately comes to mind for me is reading comic books and graphic novels. Yeah. So like I read Fun Home this year when I was in a little reading some, like not a super bad one. It had just been a couple of days. And Fun Home was fantastic. I loved reading that. And I read it in one sitting because it's short. And it also was just like a beautifully told memoir. So just switch it up a little bit.
Totally agree. Yeah. And my biggest piece of advice, and one that's helped me in the past, I think, 2 years so much, read so much more and enjoy reading, is DNF. Do not finish the books you are not enjoying. August just took a deep, deep breath.
I can't do it. My anxiety will not let me do that.
Okay.
I will feel like absolute shit. Like, even if I'm reading a book that I have no way of enjoying, I will never DNF.
I know, I understand.
Which is, I advocate for it. Like, personally, like, if it works for you, like, of course do it. Well, but yeah, for me,
it doesn't work.
No go.
I honestly, I was the same way. I refused. It was mostly just me. I felt like it didn't count as reading it if I didn't finish it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's an unhealthy approach because that's just not fair. And also that focuses on the quantity of books I'm reading rather than the quality.
Yeah.
And especially this past year with everything going on, I've been in this mindset of just protecting myself, my peace, like doing whatever I can to make myself happy. And if I am not going to sludge through a book for 4 weeks that I hate, when I can just DNF it in the first week and find a book that I love.
See, I'm the opposite. If I DNF it, it's going to start a reading slump for me because I'm going to feel so shitty about not finishing that one book.
That's fair. I mean, that whatever works for you works.
Yeah, but it's valid for people that it works for. Like,
yeah.
Whatever works for you. My last piece of advice, if it's okay for me to share it now,
no,
is to switch up your reading spot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I typically read in, like, one spot in my living room and one spot in my room. And, you know, it's kind of boring and shitty sitting in the same place over and over again, as we've all learned this last year, being at home all the fucking time. But switching it up, now that we can really, like, go out and be more comfortable, I've been reading at parks. I want to go back to coffee shops and start reading there once that's more realistic for San Francisco, which is very, very soon. So just switching that spot up, because, you know, maybe you just need a change of environment as well. There's definitely times where I've been reading in my room and I'm like, oh, this is so boring. And then I realize, oh, I've just been sitting in this spot for like 5 hours because I also work at the same spot. Maybe I should move to a different part of my apartment and I enjoy it more. And guess what? I typically do. Hey, any other tips from you?
I don't think so. I think I've exhausted all my tips. If we've missed something that works for you, definitely let us know.
Yeah. We will need those tips.
Yeah, our whole life.
Reading slumps happen often. Yeah. And it's probably good that they happen, honestly. I feel always like after a reading slump, once I've like fully recovered from it, it just makes me like appreciate reading so much more.
I totally
and a beautiful
agree.
Book so much more.
Yeah, and it does make me appreciate my other hobbies that sometimes I neglect.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, reading's my favorite hobby, but, you know, sometimes you realize, oh my god, I haven't done this in so long.
Yeah. So, what are we talking about next week?
Well, speaking of a book that I kind of already mentioned, is My Dark Vanessa.
Yeah, we're really excited for this one. This is a book that neither of us have read before. We haven't read too much about it. We do know that there are some issues of plagiarism around this book, and we will definitely get into that. And I will probably talk about Lolita, because I can.
Yeah, that's probably a good time to do it. I'll probably talk a little bit about Lolita. It's been a long time since I've read it, and that was my initial pushback against this book. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't want to read another Lolita.
Yeah.
But I've heard from a lot of people that it's not like that, and they think it's handled better in certain respects.
Okay. Okay, well, Zelda the Kitty Cat is telling us that it's time to wrap up. If you like listening to this, why not follow wherever you're listening, whether that's Apple Podcasts or Spotify? If you're on Apple Podcasts, why not go and leave us a 5-star review? Why Spotify doesn't have reviews? Don't fucking know. Also, leave us a written review. We really appreciate it. Please do
it. Please do. We appreciate it. We love feedback. Also, you can always contact us on Instagram. That's where we do most of our communication. Mm-hmm. So that's Booked On Podcast. But you also can talk to us individually. So I'm Kendra, so you can find me at Kendra Lapp.
And I'm August, and you can find me at Iggy Poop.
So we love to hear from you. Just say hi, give us your favorite book, whatever. And we will see you next week.
Yeah. Hope you're having a great day.
Bye.